You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
The Ministry for Primary Industries has launched an investigation after a number of meals served to children by the School Lunch Collective were found to have their plastic packaging melted into their food. This would be the fourth investigation launched into the collective after the government introduced the alternative provision model for Kaora Kaako, replacing local lunch suppliers. Around the same period of time, a consultation document was sent to schools across the Motu by Education Minister Erica Stanford, asking for feedback on a proposal to defund and disestablish 174 full-time roles for resource teachers of literacy and Te Reo Māori. And the Greens recently issued a call to Prime Minister Christopher Luxon, calling on him to rule out any possibility of joining the AUKUS military pact following the contentious bilateral meeting between US President Donald Trump and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky in the White House last week. For our weekly catch-up, I spoke to the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March for the Green Party's take on all of these issues. So to begin, are you surprised to hear that another investigation is being launched into the School Lunch Collective?
Yeah, I'm not surprised. There is a reason why we're getting basically a daily story on the school lunches basically being unedible. This is what happens when you cut the funding for school lunches per child. So that means each child is getting lower quality, less nutritious lunches that are no longer locally made and also cannot actually be reheated, which means people cannot take the leftovers, and if there's food waste, it also can't even be taken to, for example, charities.
Labour leader Chris Hipkins has said that the government was aiming to scrap the lunch program altogether by divesting from it and undermining its quality intentionally as a prerequisite. Do you agree with this?
Yeah, look, I mean, we've been strident in our support for adequately funded school lunches, and we actually pushed Labour and Chris Hipkins to extend the funding because they were not committed to doing so. But he's got a point when it comes to the fact that this is what we're seeing across different issues, including health, where we are strangling the funding of things like public health and publicly funded school lunches to basically set them up for failure, and then they can make the case of getting rid of these essential public services. When we have other countries across the world that have shown us the value of delivering universal free school lunches that are made locally and with care, so that kids can have nutritious food at school.
Responding to the issues with school lunches, Prime Minister Christopher Luxon said that parents should make a Marmite sandwich and put an apple in a bag if they are unhappy with meals provided by the School Lunch Collective. Is this an appropriate way for the PM to respond to concerns about school lunches?
No, because what he completely forgets is that we have thousands of children growing up in households that are living below the poverty line and simply do not have enough to even actually afford enough meals to put on the table. Secondly, the benefits of having adequately funded public school lunches benefit children beyond filling their bellies. You know, it creates a sense of community. It also connects people and their children to, for example, their local cuisine. And this has all been demonstrated in other countries that have invested in universal, free, public, and good quality, nutritious school lunches. So I think the minister just lacks touch with the families that are doing it tough. And I think it's actually disrespectful for families that are having to make tough choices because of the economic situation.
And how should Education Minister Erica Stanford respond to issues with school lunches and David Seymour's changes to the program?
Well, look, I don't want to get in the sort of tit-for-tat between the ministers. At the end of the day, if Erica Stanford isn't going to be championing adequately resourcing our public school lunches so that they're set up to succeed, she's complicit in enabling things like melted plastic to be in those lunches. The bickering between David Seymour and Eric and Stanford is simply a distraction to the fact that this is a government that has chronically underfunded per child the school lunches program so that it is set up to fail.
All right, moving on to the next topic. Recently, a consultation document was sent to schools across the Motu asking for feedback on a plan that would ensure support services were equitably distributed across the education system by defunding and disestablishing 174 full-time roles for resource teachers of literacy and resource teachers of Māori. This comes after Education Minister Erica Stanford recently cut Te Ahu o Te Reo, another program aimed at helping children to learn Te Reo Māori. So firstly, I'd like to ask what your reaction is to this proposal.
This is a service to our tamariki across the country, and particularly tamariki Māori who have been, because of government decisions, unable to access their own language and their culture in the public education system for many, many decades. At its core, we have a government that is launching attacks on Māori communities, on the Te Reti or Waitangi, and will be poor as a nation without adequately resourcing the people and the tools that enable us, all of us, to be better connected to our history, to a place of belonging, and to an understanding of the culture that actually makes our country.
What impacts could this proposal have on the development of Te Reo understanding in schools and the language as a whole?
Well, it will undermine the ability for kids to have access to Te Reo in schools. And I mean, what is being cut is essential resources that allow teachers to, for example, adequately build a curriculum that allows them to, for example, teach Te Reo. And so when we think of the impacts of that, it means more people being disconnected from their own culture. And I think, it's part of the government's agenda to completely erase, Tikanga Māori and Te Ao Māori more broadly, actually, from everyday life, and to just treat, Māori culture as just a haka and a sporting event, as opposed to actually something that needs to be protected as per our obligations to Te Tiriti o Waitangi.
And just going off of that, is this proposal a violation of Te Tiriti principles?
It is a violation of Te Tiriti, but it's more than that. It's actively underfunding the resources that allow people to connect to their own culture. And this speaks of the government's priorities, right, where they have shown a disregard to Māori and therefore to Te Reti. And we shouldn't underestimate the lifelong impact of people not being able to access their language, their culture, and the benefits of people actually being able to learn more than one language.
All right, moving on to the last topic. The Greens have recently issued a call to Prime Minister Christopher Luxon, calling on him to rule out any possibility of joining the AUKUS military pact, which is the trilateral security partnership between Australia, the United Kingdom, and the United States. So can you tell us why the Greens have made this call and why Aotearoa shouldn't join AUKUS?
It's been shown time and time again that the United States is completely out of touch with actually being compliant or supportive of human rights across the world. And in fact, they have been complicit in supporting recent genocides in Gaza, for example. What we have seen in Ukraine is a complete disregard for A, human life, B, for actually enduring peace solutions. The fact that the US is hinging a peace deal on being able to literally take resources off from Ukraine is appalling, and this shows that we should be trusting the US and we shouldn't be moving closer to military alliances when we have seen how they treat the countries that they have basically used as proxies for international conflict by providing weapons, as in the case of Ukraine and in the case of Israel.
Could you tell us a little bit more about how Donald Trump's shifting policy on the war in Ukraine, and particularly his behavior towards Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky in the White House last weekend, would have implications for any possibility of New Zealand joining AUKUS?
I want to make it clear that Trump's change is one of language, but it's not so much a departure on policy, right? Previous U.S. administrations were providing weapons both to Ukraine and Israel to basically kill the war instead of finding enduring peace solutions. But I think to me what the recent events show is a complete disrespect to political leaders that they have called allies and have provided military assistance, and then basically holding them hostage to say, well, we'll only be, supporting you to work towards peace if you, commit to effectively enabling us to secure minerals from your country. Which basically is a form of an evolution of imperialism and colonialism as we know it. And so this is why we should be really cautious of tying ourselves to a country that has shown very little regards for human rights and international order.
And lastly, how should Aotearoa navigate its geopolitical alignments instead?
we can absolutely pursue an independent foreign policy. That is something we actually do not have right now, no matter how much the Prime Minister claims to do so. Every step of the way, we have been moving closer towards forming closer military ties with the US, whether it's, for example, with the encroachment of Rocket Lab, which is then able to send military payloads into space from the US. And the danger from this is that if the US chooses to escalate conflict around the world, we'll be put at risk of war and violence in our own shores. And I think if we navigate things at a global stage, centering the needs of communities and with diplomacy, we will be able to secure more stability in the region and to actually protect our own citizens from being complicit or take part of wars that have costed hundreds of thousands of lives recently across the globe.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.